It's time to bring together the roundtable on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.
Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura, a Football Monday here. And if you're shopping for a Browns fan this holiday, the best fans in the NFL need their gear, so shop the best selection of apparel and merchandise at the Cleveland Browns Team Shop. Visit the store at First Energy Stadium. It's open 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. 7 days a week, or go to shop.clevelandbrowns.com. And we bring together the roundtable. It is served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com, the casual neighborhood joint from the same local team that has brought you the award-winning Blue Point Grill and Delmonico's Steakhouse. So make sure you are there to check it out. We have. It is sensational. Everybody here has. All right, we have Doug Deacon from the Cleveland Browns Radio Network. We have Tom Withers from AP. Doug, just to kind of try to put some things in perspective here, you struggle with the idea that maybe this team had a little more kind of going for it, especially a week ago, and how much it's changed in a week, where we thought that Cincinnati game was the pivotal, the turning point. They're only one win away from being a team that's relevant in their division and in the playoff hunt. And then a week later, there's no floor. I mean, you just fell right to the basement.
Well, I think, until you learn to quit beating yourself, you're not going to win games. And four turnovers in the Cincinnati game, then you throw in the two-block punch, you can make it six. Yesterday, four turnovers. I think yesterday was 17 points, and I think the Cincinnati game was 20-some points off turnovers. And those are the things that just, kill you. I mean, it just shifts it. Then you take in the return game has lost its spark, when you lost Benjamin, which kind of set the table in a couple games for him. So, you got to find another way to manufacture a win. And yesterday I thought Pittsburgh did a good job of adjusting to our pass rush by getting the ball out quick. I mean, they talk about Big Ben and Haley not getting along. Well, he probably liked what Haley came up with yesterday because he didn't get hit.
He did not get hit, and you talked about the woes on offense. The Browns have two offensive touchdowns now in the last two games, both to Josh Gordon. Surprise, surprise. They've given up two touchdowns to the opponent's defense and a special teams touchdown. You're not going to win in the NFL when the opponent's defense and special teams are outscoring you. So, Tom, I ask you, how can this offense be fixed, or can it, over the final five games?
That's going to be a tough one to do, Nathan. I think these past 2 weeks have exposed a lot of the Browns' flaws. What stands out to me is that there are not enough playmakers on both sides of the ball. To your point about if you can only count on Josh Gordon, well, then you don't have enough. Jordan Cameron's had some nice moments, but still, a lack of a running game. Protection hasn't been solid when it needs to be. As Doug pointed out, I thought Roethlisberger did a tremendous job of getting rid of the ball quick yesterday, which I thought then was Campbell's biggest problem on the pivotal play of the game. So, yeah, I don't know where you find over the last five, but you got to find it from somewhere.
How worried are you about what you hear in the way of now locker room talk? Post-game comments, T.J. Ward saying things that I think we all know he's thinking, or the whole defense would be thinking, that it's got to be so frustrating that the offense keeps turning it over, and here we are doing our thing. And then Joe Hayden making the comments that reflected on a letdown, or a sinking feeling that Jason Campbell's out there, so we know what the other guy can or can't do. I know he didn't name Whedon specifically, but his point was made clear. What do you make of it?
It's a little bit troubling, but I think, frustration captures the mood of the locker room and the city at this point. I think we expected more. We expected better the past 2 weeks. I think the Browns expected more and expected better. So I'm not as concerned about there being a division in the locker room. I think there's plenty of blame, if you will, to be spread around. I don't think anybody that can point and say, hey, we're doing one thing better than the other guys. Yeah, there's frustration on defense. They've played pretty well the last couple weeks, but they've also been beaten on some big plays. They've also haven't stopped the offense when they've needed to hold them to field goals rather than give up touchdowns. So there's plenty of blame to be spread around, but I'm not that concerned because I think both you guys, that there is enough veteran leadership in that locker room, Vic, to settle things down.
Tom, you tweeted yesterday something that caught my attention about the fact that you thought, and I think many of us did, that this team had built the momentum and they were ready for these big moments, and then clearly the proof is that they were not. What does that mean for the final five games and even for next year when this team, if anything, when this team gets in some meaningful situations again?
I think the good thing, Nathan, is that this is the experience that a young team needs. You got to go through these things. You hope then that it doesn't become a divided locker room over the last five games. You hope you don't have guys pointing fingers. You hope that guys that potentially could become free agents want to come back here and stay here and be part of this thing when it gets really good. So I think it's just the necessary steps of a team going through some tough times.
Yeah, and Doug, you see it from a player perspective and how delicate that psyche, that balance is in the locker room to keep everyone together. And it's a challenge for the head coach. Rob Chudzinski was in here, and I was asking him about, you know, when he's addressing the team and kind of looking everyone in the eye, and he said, you know, you're looking for a response. And I think coaches have to go by feel there, right? Because it's not words that matter right now. It's do you sense these guys are really engaged with what the hell you're trying to do here for five games? Because I don't know what the message is. The message is, let's go 5-0, guys, because that's not flying.
No, I mean, obviously, you know, you look at it, it's frustrating. And, you know, the fact that TJ said something, I think it may be better that you get it off your chest and say it rather than think it and, you know, just walk around with a chip on your shoulder. Okay, he said it. Move on. I mean, it's pretty obvious, I think, to the offensive guys that, you know, they need to score more points. In this league, you know, if you score 21 points on a weekly basis, you're going to be at least a 500 team, more than likely. But, you know, with that said, I don't think that you'll get dissension in there. I mean, I think there's a lot of frustration, but the best way to take your frustration out is on your opponent, not on your own teammates.
Right.
What would you two like to see over the last five games? What's on your wish list for this Cleveland Browns team as they finish up the 2013 season?
Continued growth by a lot of these young players. You know, we kind of focused on Barkevious Mingo a little bit last week because of the breakdown on special teams, and he's kind of disappeared a little bit, to be quite honest. And I'm not sure that they've put him in situations maybe where they could best utilize his strength. So, you know, he's a guy that I want to see more out of over the last five games. Frankly, to me, he's been a little bit of a disappointment for a guy who was touted as, you know, a pass rusher and sack specialist. And I'm just not sure that we've seen the best out of him at this point.
I was a little disappointed yesterday. I think Phil Taylor only played like 36% of the plays.
Yeah.
You know, if Big Ben's going to take the quick drops and, you know, get rid of the ball, you'd like to see somebody that can collapse the pile. And I think that's what Phil does best. Or one of the many things he does good, because he's played, you know, great this year, and not to see him out there was a little frustrating, especially that first drive when they were running the ball right up the middle, and you know Phil wasn't in there.
We've been promised an attacking defense. I haven't seen an attacking defense the last 2 weeks. I thought they actually played a little bit soft and cushiony yesterday. I mean, the one time, and when I typed it out three times or more times yesterday, 16-1 for Ben Roethlisberger against the Browns is just so mind-boggling to me. But that one was on a night where the Browns brought the heat. And sure, he does a great job of getting rid of the ball very quickly. But I thought yesterday they missed some opportunities to really put some pressure on him.
Yeah, that, you know, that was troubling. And I don't know how far to go with it. But one of the thoughts I had when we were opening this show and talking about how much the loss leaves you wondering about some things. And the thing it has me wondering about is the future, in the sense that, okay, we think the better times for this team are ahead. We think that May is going to be the key month that will solve a lot of the issues here. We've been thinking in terms of that, even though we never saw this as a, quote, playoff team, a real playoff team, but we like the flirtation with that, and we played with that for a while. Now that pretty well is gone. But I'm wondering, is it a bigger job than even we might have thought about during the season, where we said, boy, they got a lot of these areas solid in place, especially on defense, and it's just a matter of getting a few pieces perhaps offensively and things will be right. Doug, do you feel that good about it still?
Well, I think you're a little disappointed in the complimentary pieces to Josh Gordon. Because, you know, if teams are going to try to take Josh Gordon away, and obviously, you know, they try to, the other people should be able to produce. You know, Jordan Cameron, teams have, you know, decided to mug him at the line of scrimmage, and his numbers have kind of dropped off. But you know, we saw Little and we saw Bess in the Baltimore game. But when, you know, why don't we see it on a more consistent basis? I thought it was good that they got Cameron involved early yesterday, but then, you know, that faded away. And it just, it's frustrating, you know, because I think there is some talent here. But we still, you know, the running game is, you know, we don't have the running game that you need. McGay played, what, six plays yesterday. It's kind of obvious that they thought he wasn't the answer against that defense. And so, you know, we don't have an outside running game, you know, and I think you got to make a team defend the entire field.
There's a lack of threats. I think that's clear on this offense outside of Josh Gordon, and there is not a quarterback who can make the complementary players better than they appear to be. You look at the great teams in the NFL and the teams that get by with mediocre talent, and they do that. And the other thing that I don't think we're talking enough about, and maybe I'm wrong, maybe we are talking enough about it, is this offensive line is not playing that well. I don't think it is playing that well. I know Joe Thomas in pass protection has been very, very good, and he continues to be very good in that regard. But overall, is a line that has an opportunity to perhaps impose a will to help this offense out. They don't do that, and they have not done that in a single game this year.
I will defer to the left tackle on that one.
Well, I mean, you know, obviously the sacks are bothersome because we've had a lot. But, you know, I go back to the last game last year against Pittsburgh when we threw Thaddeus Lewis in there, and there weren't sacks because Thaddeus Lewis got the ball out in a hurry. He understood the concept. Yeah, this is a more vertical offense and things like that. But with that, you know, you look around the league, going into 10 games, after 10 games of the season, sacks are up 125 on the total. I mean, that's a lot of sacks. Mm. So, I mean, you're gonna get, especially if you're going to have a vertical offense.
We're visiting with Doug Deacon from the PNC Bank Cleveland Browns Radio Network, Tom Withers from the Associated Press. This is the Roundtable, and it is served by Rosewood Grill, Hudson and Strongsville. Catch the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. The other thing is this. It's Jacksonville, and we for a while we saw this game as, you know, oh, come on, just Cap chalk this baby up.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
No, I mean,
They've won two out of three, and they might actually have a quarterback situation that's stable for them, much more than can be said for this Browns team. I mean, as you think about this game, it's Brandon Whedon versus this Jaguars team. You really can't have any faith in what he'll be able to do,
no,
obviously.
I don't know what to think about this week. I don't even know if I want to think about this week, to be honest.
See, that's why
I
asked you the question.
It's been such a letdown over
the
last 2 weeks. You know, something I addressed with Coach Jedzinski today and then talked to some of the players about, I know it happens, and fans can do what they want at the game, but I thought Brandon Whedon being booed as he came into the game in a tough situation doesn't do anybody any good. And so, you know, I brought that up with several of the players, and I thought, at least Paul Kruger talked about it today in depth, that they've got Brandon's back, and they're hoping, they're trying to be supportive, and I just would hope that fans would think the same way. I mean, this guy is in a very difficult position, and it's not going to do anybody good, you know, giving him a hard time as he comes into the game.
You know, when he came in yesterday, the first play, and then Jason came back, he hit Jordan Cameron right in the hands.
Should have been a first down.
And if they convert that, there's a good chance they don't get the add-on of 7 points that on the pass to that they hit the Brown. And so it's other things that just kind of have a domino effect. And, you know, yeah, you're going to pick up another quarterback now, but, you know, it's like Thanksgiving and eating, you know, TV dinners, you know.
Exactly. And it's tough. And once it's tough for a quarterback. I mean, looking in Houston, Matt Schaub actually took that team to the playoffs. They were division winners year after year, won multiple playoff games for him, and he comes in, same thing. They had to go to a silent snap count in Houston at the end of a game because the home crowd was booing him so much, and it's a tough situation.
And Vic, it gets back, I think, to what you mentioned earlier, was that I think some of that negativity then creeps into the locker room. It's just
There's no question.
You know, there's no doubt that it's going to.
I mean, I watched New England last night, and they were booing the Patriots
at halftime.
Yeah, I mean, how can you boo, you know, Tom Brady, you know, with what he's done, you know, let the body of work, you know, develop and see what happens. And at the end of the game,
there's no question about it. You know, and it's
frozen lips.
Yeah.
As people, it is tough. We're sitting here and we're frustrated and we're disappointed and thinking about the way we felt after the Baltimore game and the hope that we had, and now that that hope, the bubble of hope has been burst, so to speak. It's got to be tough for these players too, and now you got Thanksgiving and you got all that, and this is going to be a tough game, I think, for the Browns to focus on and take the way that they should. And I know they're professionals, and you'd say they're getting paid a lot of money and they should do that, but I think it's going to be a little bit of a challenge. And this Jags team, by the way, is not playing that bad the last couple of weeks. And listen, when your quarterback that you're bringing in now has, we all know, on the clock, a slower release, the ball gets out later, you've already given up the second most sacks in the NFL. Only the Miami Dolphins have given up more, and we know they don't even have three of their starting five offensive linemen for a variety of reasons and dysfunction down there. It's not a pretty picture. It's just not a pretty picture right now for the Browns in this offense. And you need to be an offensive football team to win in the NFL, because you can call the Carolina Panthers a defensive football team. You can call Seattle and San Francisco. But at the end of the day, when they need to, they can still put points on the board, and they still have people that teams are worried about defensively.
They're complete teams. I mean, they're
complete.
I feel
like I need something stronger than this water.
I know. We got to work on it.
But, yesterday – New England was down 24-0, and you go, whoa, boy, they're going to get rolled.
Right.
But, Tom Brady does not quit.
Right.
And it just shows you how important having that guy is.
Exactly.
And the guy on the other side, they kind of went into a little bit of a shell, I thought.
I talked with Brian Hoyer at lunch, and by the way, just for those who want a little optimism, I mean, he's walking around beautifully. He had that ACL surgery. The guy's walking like with almost pain free, and he said, they give you a timetable. They're very specific on how much you can do, because he says he feels great. And I said, my God, I can't believe how normally you're kind of walking around after that surgery. But I asked him about last night's game, and he said, well, I had to, up late with the baby and then up early with the baby, so I couldn't really watch the game and saw the highlights this morning. But he said, what I couldn't figure out is why people were trying to say, Peyton Manning over Tom Brady by like a landslide. He says, that's what you see last night. That's what Brady does. And he just was confounded by that. Anyway,
but when you asked earlier if you think it can turn around as quickly as maybe we once thought, I say yes, because when you find
that
guy,
position,
it makes a difference.
But that's Seattle such Seahawks, a huge if. That's the thing.
Okay, but the Seattle Seahawks drafted Russell Wilson in the third round, and now they could go into a game like they did against Houston this year, down 20, and know we still have a chance to win. I would be pretty sure that I'm not speaking out of turn saying that with the Browns, with Brandon Whedon, or even Jason Campbell are down, 24-0 at halftime, that they're really in there saying, we've got our guy who's going to lead us back.
And all I'm – my concern with that, again, is it's such – you got to hit on it so right. And most teams –
That's what they're here to do. That's why they're paid the big bucks.
Exactly. But most teams don't. I mean, the answer is – the reality is most teams don't. And they found that guy in the third round, and the ones that you get in the first round, still question marks lingering over these guys.
Smith, there's Ryan Reeves.
Exactly. There's a long
Jeff
list.
There's
a long list of misses.
Are there enough Jeff George.
Yeah. Are there long
good.
List of misses.
Come on.
I wonder, though, are there enough good quarterbacks to go around?
And that's the other thing. I sat there Saturday. I just focused on college football. I'm starting to get in that mode of, okay, I want to see hit me with something. And I'm watching Johnny Football, and I know this organization spent a lot of time looking at Johnny Manziel. Okay, great. That was really unimpressive. And LSU, it doesn't have that great a defense that just neutralized him and the whole offense of Texas A&M. And I'm watching other – I just want to be bowled over by somebody to really believe in. I don't have that guy. Do you have him?
No.
Do you have him?
No.
I don't have
him. Actually, A.J. McCarron's my guy.
But, you sit there and I think you get enamored with the physical skills of the quarterback. But when you watch Manning and Brady, it's the mental skills, I think, that, separates. And I think you can say the same thing for Brian Hoyer. I mean, that's why I think, he had success when he was, was starting, was because mentally he understood the game on the defensive side.
Yeah. Yep. All right, great stuff, guys. Thank you much. Again, Doug Deacon and Tom Withers joining us here on the Roundtable. It is served by Rosewood Grill in Hudson and Strongsville. Please, please check out the delicious details at rosewoodgrill.com. And we're going to have so much more. We want to hear from you, by the way, on a Therapy Monday, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. And you tweet us at Browns_daily. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. Stick around for more of CBD on ESPN 850 WKNR.